Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, Saints. Welcome to today's Seed Time and House Broadcast. Again, I'm Bishop Hutchinson. So blessed and privileged to have this opportunity to come and speak life to you today. We're continuing with our series of studies on success. In fact, we're going to be concluding this series today. We wanted to start off the new year going in a new direction. And so we started with this series of success, and over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been sowing seeds of success into your life. And we pray that these seeds are now beginning to germinate in your life. Some may begin to take fruit, and some may begin to bear fruit or reap a harvest for you today. So we're so excited to have you tuned in again with us. Now, today's lesson is going to be entitled The Fall of Jericho, The First Fruits of Success. Someone say with me, the first fruits of success. That means there comes a season in your life, saints, after the hardship, after the trial, after the test, after the release from bondage and wandering in your wilderness, that you get to that land that God promised Joshua and Israel, that you will get to that land that overflows with milk and honey, and that is the land of good success. And so we're going to be talking about reaping the harvest of success today. And so I pray that you will continue to meditate upon the principles that have led us to this point of this series, and that you continue to apply the principles of obedience, of acceptance, of believing God, so that your harvest can continue to be manifested in your life. And so go ahead and get your Bible, paper, and pencil, saints. Be prepared to take notes, study along with us. We're going to be studying today from the book of Joshua, chapter 5. And again, I've given each one of you a challenge to study through the entire book of Joshua at the beginning of this year of 2016, which is, we've decreed and declared, is our year of good success. And so be sure that you continue to apply your principles. You know, once someone gets you started in the right direction, now you must continue to stay the course. And in this instance, I want you to stay the course that you can get to the place of your success in your life. I don't want you just to get started on the path of success. I want you to reach the place where we're talking about today in our lesson, which is that you reap the harvest of success. And we're going to see in Joshua chapter 5 with the children of Israel finally got to the place after this long, arduous journey where they finally got to the place where they could reap the harvest of their success. Praise the Lord. And so here we are, Joshua chapter 5. I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses there, and then we'll get a word of prayer in it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read that. Now when all the Ammonite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor right now. We worship you, Father, in spirit and truth. Let your anointing fall afresh upon each and every person under the sound and hearing of my voice. I thank you that as your anointing falls, that you will bring healing. I thank you that as your anointing falls on them, they'll receive salvation and supernatural provision in their lives. Father, we thank you today for all of the members of the royal priesthood, all of those who are gathering in their cell churches all over the world. Father, I decree and declare that they are a royal priesthood, that they are royalty, living life abundantly this day. May your spirit come alive in us as we study your word. May our path to success be open as we apply the principles that we are reading about today. Let your word be manifested in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks to God. Somebody give God a hallelujah right now. Give God the highest praise for saints. Indeed, he is worthy. I tell you, I've been so greatly rich and blessed as we went through this series of studies. Really, these principles, if applied to your life, thanks to God, they will in fact bring you to the place that we're going to be talking about today in your life. And remember, this is a continuing effort. Success is a journey. It's not a destination, thanks to God. So we're going to continue as we started off with our foundational text for this year from Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And to paraphrase, the key point of that is that we will meditate upon the word of God day and night. We shall not depart from it. And as we do so, he will make our way prosperous, and we shall have good success. In other words, we're going to have godly success. The kind of success that God blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with, the kind that he blessed his early disciples with, the kind that he continues to bless his church with as we continue to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And so again today, we're looking at the story of the fall of Jericho, and these were the first fruits of the success or the accomplishment of what God said would be done in the lives of Israel. And we must also recognize the different stages, the different phases in which we have arrived at in order to bless God and be able to obey God fully. Hallelujah. Someone say, we must fully obey the Lord. And so this is going to be the reward of Joshua and Israel reaping the first fruits of their success. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you are also experiencing the harvest of your success as well. Now, we're going to look at two key words before we start with this lesson. One is reap or reaping, and the other is harvest or harvesting. I want you to say reaping a harvest of success. So you're going to reap, that is, you're going to get the reward of the things that have been spoken in your life, that God has determined to fulfill through your life, and you're going to be able to accomplish those things. And this is what the whole standard for this year is for these series of studies. It's all about accomplishing the things of God. Or better words, as we'll see today, seeing God accomplish the things that he has spoken concerning your life in this year of 2016. Somebody give God praise. And so as we begin to look through this chapter 5 of Joshua, we're going to see these principles outlined for us here. And God is not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of all kindred, tongue, tribe, and nations, all of those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shed his blood and rose again for the salvation of all of mankind. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that before we conclude this lesson. But let's go ahead and take a look now at Joshua. Open up your Bibles, Joshua chapter 5, and I've already read the first verse that set the stage, and if you've been following along with us, last week we talked about chapter 4 of Joshua. And so we're continuing. Like I tell you early in the broadcast, success is a journey. It is not a destination. We hope that by the time Christ returns, whether we are alive and remain or whether we are asleep, that we will reap the harvest of success in life or in death. So success is our inheritance, thanks to God. We are the inheritors of success, which is what Jesus was talking about with the kingdom of God. Now, in the case of Israel in the Old Testament, this level of success would be the fulfillment of the promises that God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promises that God said that they would dwell in the land of Canaan, that they were the inheritors of the land, and now we're going to see how that began to manifest. So, again, let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, now, someone said now, this is where God has you at in your space and time. This is your now moment. Somebody said, this is my now moment. This is your now moment. So when you see, we read through these scriptures, I want you to put yourself in the place of the Israelites in Joshua. For God did not just make these promises to them. He made these promises for all who would follow after him. Now, when all the Ammonite kings west of the Jordan and all of the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. This is when your enemy is afraid to face you. You have resisted the enemy, and the New Testament says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So we see now where the enemy once had you in fear, thanks to God. You notice that before Israel crossed over, the generation prior to this one, when Joshua and Moses had sent out spies into the land, Joshua and Caleb being one of the two spies who came back with a good report. All the other spies feared the enemy, for they said that we were like grasshoppers in their eyesight, and they were afraid to go in to possess the land. But how many of you know, all of that generation has passed away now, and only Joshua and Caleb from that generation is still here. How many of you know that no matter if everybody else turn against you, if God be for you, thanks to God, that's enough. Hallelujah. And so that's just a little backdrop. So go through these previous chapters to get caught up with where we were, starting with the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, verse 2, it says, at that time, and for some of you listening today, at this time, at this moment, right now, as you, these words are going into your hearing, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeah Haraloth. Now, this is why he did so. All those, and I just alluded to this briefly, all those who came out of Egypt, someone said me, out of Egypt, all the men of military age died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness, someone said me, born in the wilderness. There were some of you who were born in the wilderness. You're not in the wilderness as a result of your lack of seizing the opportunity. Some of you are in the wilderness because of the generations before you lack to seize the opportunity that God had presented to them 40 years earlier. And this is why God wants to remove the reproach from this generation. Yes, yes, you and I right now, we confess and seek forgiveness for the sins of our forefathers, and we re-circumcise ourselves, or we circumcise our hearts. In the case of Israel, they had a physical circumcision that set them apart from the other nations. But remember now, God is not talking just to one particular nation of the earth. The offer of salvation is for every kindred, tongue, tribe of the earth now. Every nation of the earth, all of those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. So we're called to circumcise our heart. That is to set ourselves apart from the ways of this world and follow the ways of God. Jesus said it in these words in Matthew 6:33, that we should seek ye first, some of the first. Yes, first is just like the first fruits of the harvest that Israel is about to receive right now. But the first fruits of the kingdom of God is that we seek first. Some of the first. That is to put before all else. Hallelujah. Are you ready and willing to put everything else aside, children of God, and put all else behind seeking after God, seeking after his way of doing things? This is what was required in order for Joshua and Israel to get to the place where they are in this lesson. And that's what's going to be required in order for you to reap the harvest of your success as well. Hallelujah. Today we're talking about the fall of Jericho, the first fruits of success. So here again, we're looking at the fact that God says, now when I called the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of their bondage, they dwelled in the wilderness for 40 years. There were children that were born in the wilderness. And this is why those who were born in the wilderness must now circumcise their hearts. This is this generation, maybe the generation of 30 and younger or 40 or younger. Even now, you may have grown up in an era of our society where families don't seem to be normal for you anymore, where church seems to be relevant, where those who say they are walking after Christ seem to be living contrary to Christ. I don't want you to base your eternal future on somebody else's past. I don't want you to base the future that God has for you on your past. Just as Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, to give you future, a hope, and success. Someone say success. That is God's plans for you. God has plans of success for your life. And so he wants us to move past. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to move to the future. And this is what God was saying to Israel here. So circumcise yourself, set your heart apart, dedicate your life, dedicate some of your time, dedicate your efforts to the things that please God and not just to the things that please yourself. This is what it means to come out of our Egypt in this society. Don't put money or people or position or power or fame before God. Place God first in order to reap the first fruits of the success that God wants you to have. Thanks to God. So here again, verse 6, the Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men of military age had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. So you see what caused that former generation not to even see the land of promise. This is why we talked about during this course of series that it, a promise is only good if we keep the conditions of the promise. Promises are based on two conditions. It's based on the guarantee that the person who promised will do what they said they would do if we do what we promised we would do in return. So there is a covenant that takes place in order for promises to be made, and the covenant or the agreement must be kept in order for the promise to be fulfilled. In the case of the former generation of Israel, they did not keep the promise. They did not keep the covenant. They violated the promise that they had with God, and as a result, we read these scriptures that they died in the wilderness. But now here God is so loving and gracious and kind. He's so faithful to watch over his word, for he had promised Abraham that his children would inherit this land. So if it wasn't with the former generation, he said, I will make this covenant with this new generation, with you and I today, children of God, that we can take the promise and go forward. He'll pass the baton on to us. How many of you are ready to reap the harvest of success? Maybe the harvest of your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and your ancestors before you. Maybe perhaps they did not receive the harvest for whatever reason. But in this season, hallelujah, hallelujah, this is year 2016. It's our year of good success. And so we see here in the case of Israel how faithful God is to watch over his word to perform it. Verse 7, so he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained there with in camp until they were healed. See, some of us have went through calamities, disasters, distresses, because we have not went to the circumcision of our heart process. We've still been walking contrary to the words of God and will of God, not so much because we wanted to, but because of our lack of knowledge. But now today, as you hear this broadcast, you understand that God is calling to you. God is speaking to you. God is saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. He's basically saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you shall have rest for your soul. If that's you today, saints of God, the same thing that God has said to Joshua and Israel in this Old Testament text is what God is speaking and giving the invitation to today. So we see that after the circumcision, a circumcision are things that cut. There are things that cut parts of a physical person's body to reveal something else. There was a foreskin that had to be removed from the Israelites physically in order for them to be designated as being different, as being set apart for God. God has to cut our hearts sometimes, saints. Sometimes this is why he allows us to go through difficult trials and certain situations in life. And they cause hurt in our life. They may cause pain. They may cause distress or crisis you may go through. But this is Israel. God gave them the grace to be healed. God wants to give us the grace today. All of you to listen to my voice, whatever you're going through in life, health, wealth, business, relationships, God wants to heal you after the circumcision. And so verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today, and I pray that the same words are being made true in your life, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, from your bondage, from the curse, from the wilderness. I have rolled it all away because you've obeyed me and circumcised yourselves. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day, which means the rolling away. Someone say rolling away. I believe God is rolling away some of your past today, thanks to God, because you are finally ready to submit yourself to the Lord. So they called the place Gilgal, verse 10. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. They remembered, hallelujah, how they rushed out of Egypt, how their ancestors rushed out of Egypt in such haste that they did not have time to even put yeast or leaven in the bread, which is why they still celebrate today in those cultures with the flat bread. Hallelujah. Remember the memorial stones that we talked about in last week's lesson, that we must remind, have things to remind the future generations of what God has done in this generation, that we have turned our hearts unto God, and why we turn our hearts to God. Oh, it's such an important thing for us to do, saints, because the promise is only kept for those who are in agreement with God's word, who are in agreement with God's will. Let us be the first fruits of the perpetual generation for success in our families, perhaps in our nation, hallelujah, perhaps in the life of the church. You and I, thanks to God, are being called forth today to be circumcised, and we should celebrate the fact that we must come out with such haste as the Israelites did out of Egypt, but they didn't come out empty-handed. And they were remembering these times as they celebrated the Passover, how the blood of the Lamb was shed and speared over the doorposts where the death angel passed over all the homes of the Egyptians. You ought to thank God now that you're here today. Thank God that because of the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, and because his blood has been shed, that you and I are alive today, and we ought to celebrate the Passover, because death has visited many people's homes. Death has taken many of our friends. Death has taken many of our families. But by the grace of God, death has not visited upon us as of yet. Somebody give God praise. And we want to know that when we cross over into the season of death, as we know it, that we are entering into the eternal life. So here they are remembering all the things that God has done for them. God is not a God who's just God when you need something. God is the God who has always been there for you in order to provide that something for you. Even if you thought you didn't have enough, you had enough, because you wouldn't have survived without God's provision in your life. Israel is being reminded of these things today, and I pray that as we enter into our years of harvest of success, that we don't forget the Lord and all his benefits. So it says they celebrate the Passover, verse 11, the day after the Passover, that very day. Somebody said it wasn't one day later that God spoke these words and they celebrated the Passover. And today, you don't have to wait until tomorrow. You don't have to wait until the walls of Jericho fall. You don't have to wait until you are completely healed. You can celebrate your Passover now, because Jesus has already died on the cross. Jesus has already been buried in the grave. Jesus has already risen from the grave. Jesus is already seated at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is soon to return for his church. Somebody ought to celebrate the Passover, for he was the ultimate Passover lamb that shed his blood for us. It says the day after the Passover, that very day they ate. This is the harvest that they have reaped from their success. They ate, hallelujah, some of the produce of the land. They ate some of the unleavened bread and roasted grain. Hallelujah. And that day, the scripture says, the manna stopped. See, the manna was the supernatural provision that God was providing for Israel while they were wandering in their wilderness. But that day that they ate from the harvest that God had promised, they no longer needed the supernatural provision, for God had manifested his promises in their lives. This is what we're talking about today, the first fruits of success, harvesting the first fruits of the harvest of their success. And so the manna was no more. But that year they ate the produce of Canaan. This is what we're decreeing and declaring for each and every one of you today. This year. See, it says that year, whatever year that was for Israel. We're transcribing these same type of principles, the same type of effects into the lives of those who can receive 2016 as their year of good success. This year, for us, whatever that year was for them. And then after they celebrated the Passover, that is what God had already done. It wasn't even about what God is going to do next. See, if you're not thankful for what God has already done and what God is already doing, you're not going to be thankful for what he does next in your life. But I believe because the children of Israel were reminded of what God did and they celebrated what he did to their ancestors before them, they celebrated it, what God was doing for them even now by allowing them to reap the harvest that their ancestors only dreamt about. And I believe that sets the stage. I believe praise and worship sets the stage for warfare, saints of God. The next thing we see is the fall of Jericho in verse number 13 through 15. We see that Joshua was near Jericho. He saw a man standing near him with a drawn sword. He asked, "Are you for or against us?" And he says, "Neither. I am the commander of the Lord's army." And Joshua fell face down and worshiped the man. He asked, "What message do you have for me?" And the commander told him to take off his sandals and just worship him, for the ground he's standing on is holy. Some of you right now ought to just lift your hands or maybe bow down before the Lord and just say, "Thank you, Lord. I honor you. I acknowledge your presence in my life even right now, Father." It says, and Joshua did so. And then it transfers into verse chapter 6. Now, the Bible is written in chapters, but this letter was written in chapters, so the story continues in what we call chapter 6. It says, now they're prepared for warfare because of their faith, because of their praise, and because of their worship. It's not because they were strong and mighty in themselves, but it's because they gave faith and praise and they worshiped the Almighty God. Somebody ought to say hallelujah right now. For this battle is not yours. It belongs unto the Lord. And we're going to see what happens when we also begin to thank God and we begin to praise God and we begin to worship God. It sets the atmosphere for warfare. Here they are now, verse chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites, and no one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and all its fighting men." And most of us are familiar with the story. Israel marched around the city 6 days, one time a day. On the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Day because it was a supernatural act, because this battle, God was fighting this battle for Israel. And whenever you are in agreement with God, whoever's your enemy is God's enemy. When you're in agreement with God, whatever tries to separate you from God, God wants to separate that thing from you. And this is what has been happening with Israel in the spiritual realm. All the physical acts and ceremonies that God was asking Israel to go through in the natural was just setting the stage for what God was about to do in the spiritual realm for them. Saints, God can do for you what no man can do. He can open doors that no man can close, and he can close doors that no man can open. We're seeing Israel about to reap the harvest now. Verse number 9, so the armed men marched ahead of the priests, and they blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark of the presence of God. All this time that the trumpets were blowing, but Joshua had commanded the army not to give a war cry. Do not raise your voice. Do not say a word until I tell you to shout. And then you are to shout. Hallelujah. So some of you now, the enemy thinks he has you right where he needs you. But I want you to know that it's not a setback. It's a setup. So here it is, finally. The seventh day at daybreak, in verse 15, they marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city seven times, and the seventh time around, the priests sounded the trumpet blast, and Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all it is in is devoted to the Lord." And how many of you know, saints, that as they shouted, the walls of the city fell down? The walls of their bondage, the walls of the curse, the walls of their sickness, the walls of their poverty, the walls of lack fell down in the lives of Israel. Oh, I want to say to somebody now, shout! Shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Reap the harvest of your success today, children of God. Reap the fruits of your ancestors' labor. Reap the harvest of somebody else's prayers. Reap the harvest and receive the reward that even your enemies tried to keep from you. Today, hallelujah, is your day of success. This is your year of success. I want you to reap the harvest of success as the walls of your Jericho fall in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, somebody. Give God praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, this is the year of good success. May you be blessed. May you reap the harvest as you obey the Lord. Hallelujah and amen.